So when Mark asked if we could come by and talk with you guys for a minute, bring you up to date ministry-wise and maybe share something out of Scripture. Actually, the first thing that the Lord, and he changed this, so I just want to tell you, the first thing that the Lord put on my heart, I prayed and said, hey, Lord, you know, any particular passage of Scripture that you would, or topic that you would like me to share or us to share with you guys. And it really was, the first one was judging on appearance, right? I don't know how you guys do with that, but I know that that's one that still lingers. You know, when I meet somebody, you know, contrary to Scripture, I'm not looking like the Lord does for the heart. I'm looking at appearance. I'm looking at clothing. I'm looking at the way somebody speaks. I'm looking at how they're, you know, it's sad, right? So I don't know if you guys can identify with that or not, but boy, you just don't know. Given the ministry that the Lord's entrusted to us in Camden, you know, we see people at probably their worst, right? In terms of appearance, at least, right? And but we've learned over the years, over the past 20 plus years that the Lord has had us down there, that everybody's got a story. They didn't just drop into Camden because they thought that would be a good place to hang out, right? They're there for a variety of reasons, from a variety of geographical locations, from families that some people would say wasn't the best environment, to the best families, somebody would say was the best environment. Sin is an equal opportunity destroyer. And what the Lord has shown us over the years is we need to look past the physical attributes of a particular person and, like the Lord, begin to see the background and the heart and how did they end up here. One of the things that I've always said about the Lord is that when he met people, even at their worst, he never asked them, well, how did you get here? Right? He never went back beyond that. He met them right where they were and then started from that point going forward. And that's the example that we're trying to use. But I've got to tell you, if you're like me, sometimes appearance, you know, you just look, and not necessarily even in the area of Camden or whatever. When you meet a new person or you're in a new situation and you meet somebody, but I need the Lord's help. Maybe you do too. I need the Lord's help sometime to just go to the person, go to their heart instead of what I see, because it's usually deceiving. But that wasn't even the topic that the Lord ended up bringing this morning. Kind of interesting, because I talked to Pastor Mark just as we walked in the door this morning. I was on the church, your church's website yesterday, probably checking to see what time the service started. And what time we have to be there. And I saw that you guys were in a series in John, which I've been working with some of the guys in prison through a short series in John, and particularly John 15, verses 1 to 11. So you guys who are somewhat familiar with your Bible will remember that as the vine and the branches, and abiding in the vine, staying close to the vine, staying tight to the vine. So let me read that. Let me get my glasses.
Watch that right there. So I didn't know you had them.
This will help. You know, I do with the guys in prison as we'll be going to a particular passage, and of course I really know where it is, and I go, John, is that in the New Testament? No, I think, well, yeah. So we're going to go John 15, if I can find it. This is beautiful. John 15, verses 1 through 11. Let's just take a look at that before we share about the ministry and see what the Lord does with this in all of our hearts. I know that it affected me and challenged me as we were going through it with the men, so I wanted to share it with you guys as well. So this is the NIV translation, so you won't find the word abiding there. We prefer the word abiding because it's it means closer, right? It means tied in, right? I am the vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of my word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. That's where it would say abide. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Next verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Continuing in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. But as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And that's really it. But we had a lot over the last, probably the last almost month with the men at Bayside State Prison. We go in there and do Lord has us doing a Bible study there at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then a Christian fatherhood group after that. And it's just been a blessing. You get guys, as you can probably imagine, probably some guys in that study, probably about 15 to 18 guys in that study. Some guys that don't know the Lord yet. And then there are guys that probably know, at least intellectually, more scripture than some of the volunteers that go in there. So you have a sort of a gigantic mix. But what we saw when we were looking at this particular passage of scripture is, you know, how the Lord calls himself the vine, and then how we need to be attached to him in order to bear fruit for him. And one of the guys, I was telling Bren, one of the guys knew some farmers down in I guess Gloucester County, maybe Cumberland County, where the peach trees and peach orchards were. And he brought something up, not this past week, but the week before. And he said, and he knew some peach farmers, and he said, for the first 3 years, maybe some of you guys are familiar with this, for the first 3 years, they plant the peach tree, they grow it, they never take any fruit that comes off that first year or second year, or even the third year. They constantly prune it each year so that the fruit gets stronger and bigger and sweeter by the time it gets to like year three or four. That's when they consider it to be fruit that's sellable and fresh and sweet. And which is a great thing, and to show you how long it takes sometimes for us to grow into good fruit, right? Great fruit, fresh fruit. The devotion we used when we were in the prisons is called fresh fruit. And here's what impacted me when I was thinking about that. You know, what's that look like in my life, right? And some of you guys have been walking with the Lord for quite a number of years. Some hardly at all, I'm sure. I'm coming up on 28 years, and I feel like every year I just continue to learn something new, usually more about myself. So when we were going through this verse, you know, we were talking with the guys, but it was impacting me as much as it was impacting any of the men that were sitting in that circle. Because what's my fruit look like, right? Have I gotten complacent? You know, have I gotten to like what I consider to be like a plateau? And Scripture tells you pretty clearly that if you're not bearing the fruit that the Lord intends us to bear, you know, he's going to do a little pruning. And the first word that ever comes to my mind when I hear pruning is pain, right? The Lord usually, when he has to prune us so that we bear much fruit or better fruit, often that is through a season of pain. And we all want to try to, we all certainly want to try to avoid that. But that's where I found I grow the most. I don't know about you guys. You know, I'm not, I usually don't grow when things are rolling, according to Bill's plan. I usually grow when there's some kind of a struggle or trial in my life, our lives, or whatever, because that's when we seek the Lord in a deeper way. It's just more like human nature. We should be seeking Him that way all the way through. But anyway, I just wanted to throw out the concept of the vine. You have anything to say on the vine?
Not much. Okay.
I love that whole concept, and I just, because it's a great visual. You guys, you know, been well taught here for a million years. The reason there's so many references to agriculture in Scripture is because that's really what it was all about back in those days, right? So everybody understood when Jesus was talking about the vine and Jesus was talking about the branches, that wasn't a new concept to anybody. They understood that because of the way, mm-hmm. that's how they ate, mm-hmm. basically. Yeah. And so I would just say to you to think about where you are today in terms of your walk with the Lord. Whether you've been walking with Him for 50 years or, you know, 50 days, what's the fruit look like in our lives? What does it look like, right? Have you got complacent, which I'm sure there's probably seasons of complacency, but have you got complacent? Are you still as excited about bearing the fruit of the Lord as you were in the beginning, or have you just settled for what today is, right? And then another guy in the prison, this is what's great. So we get the opportunity to go in and facilitate these studies on behalf of the men. But I can tell you, if you've ever done that or been in something similar to that, where you have like a mix of guys like that, especially guys you don't see completely often, they minister to us sometimes by the way that they say more than we do when we go in there, right? You go in there thinking, okay, we're going to try to guide these guys and point them in a certain direction. And very often somebody within that group will minister to us. And so another guy said, well, what are you talking about? This is just last week, 2 days ago, Friday. He's like, well, okay, so fruit. And then where does he go? Galatians 5:22, right? Fruit of the Spirit, right? And I didn't even think of that. And I'm thinking, you know, fruit like serving people, maybe witnessing to people, worshiping fervently like we did here this morning. You know, they are fruit. That's fruit as well. But he goes right to Galatians 5:22. Which, you know, everybody's familiar with, but I still think it's worth going through that for you guys, just to remind yourself. I know whenever I go through it, it's like, I'm not sure. There's 9 fruit of the Spirit, right? And I have written in my Bible that was probably written in there 15, 20 years ago. It said, I could read it, but it just, I wrote it in there. It says, all 9. You know, the Lord just doesn't want you to pick and choose the fruit that you're going to work on, right? Or allow the Holy Spirit to address in your life. It's not a smorgasbord. I think I didn't know how to spell smorgasbord, but it's written in there somewhere. But I know what it means, right? Oh, yeah, peace, joy, love, right? And especially the last one. We all love the last one. The guys in the prison love the last one. Because a lot of the guys are in prison because of number 9, self-control, right? They're in there because in some moment, in some way, something happened. They weren't thinking. You know, the enemy's great, right? He never lets us see the consequences of our actual decision that we make, right? He hides, very often he hides those consequences, and then bang, a lack of self-control. Like, you know, there's so many men we've met over the years who are sitting there today because in that moment, you know, they chose to address the situation not the right way. But let's take a peek. I got to go back to my glasses, huh?
Okay.
And then we'll get to the ministry bit.
Okay.
New Testament, right? Just kidding. Just to see if you're paying attention.
He can't help it. While he's going there, I just want to say how great it is to be here this morning with all of you, and just really want to thank you so much for the partnership that we share in the Lord's mission. It's been really great over the last several years just to see how you guys have just picked up your hearts and your hands. And just even this morning, someone, forgive me for not remembering who, but just what an encouragement to say, we've been praying for you all week. And it was just such a blessing, and it was you. But that's just something that really strengthens our spirits, and it's been great to watch your hearts your pastor just leading so well in love and loving our neighbors, and we'll get a chance to talk about that. But just even coming into your community this morning, and then hearing the things, the pool party and inviting, and just the opportunities to build relationships with people and just love on them and show them the kindness of God practically. It's just such a privilege to be able to do that. And we don't have to be assigned a certain location, although God has put us in geographic locations, right, to use our influence. And then in those around us, wherever we go, that we can just be kind and loving. And those kind of things can have tremendous impact, especially in, you know, the days and the times that we're living in now. I think it's really great opportunity for us to be able to just simply be present with others and love them well, and ask God to do what only He can do. So just feel blessed to be here this morning, just very grateful for the way that you have come alongside of us in loving our neighbors, which is just something that really the Lord has just like zeroed in on. Very thankful for COVID because of that, actually, because it was like He sees the one life every time. And to be able to be reset in that way in the neighborhood where we are, and then many of you, you know, come and join arms with us, it's just a blessing to be able to be kind and loving in His name to those who just feel unseen, unloved, forgotten, no possibility for forgiveness, hopeless, helpless. So it's just great. So, all right, I hope I didn't mess you up just saying that, but right
You're
now.
Fine.
But, sorry.
You're fine.
I say to say that. I like to say that first. But. He says I'm fine. He knows me better.
I think I'm good.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So back to the guy on Friday who said, "Well, what about the fruit of the Spirit?" And we're like, "Yeah, that's probably a pretty good indication of where we all are, right?" So we went on Friday to the 9 fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22, and see, Brenda was trying to pump you up. I'm going to try to drag you down by taking you through this list of the fruit of the Spirit. Because if you have a sober assessment of yourself, you're probably not doing too good with this list, right? So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Not love the way the world says it. True, biblical, unconditional, Christ-like love. Do we do that all the time? Joy. Peace, patience, right? Everybody laughs at patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah, so my thing says all 9, I'm seriously, this was written, I don't know, at least 15 years ago. All 9, not just a 6 out of 9, a passing grade, that's what it right? That's what's written here. So somebody must have said that when they were sharing about this particular, but it's true, right? We gravitate towards the one, oh yeah, I'm good. You know, I'm generally gentle, or I'm generally patient, or whatever. But that's not the standard. The standard is the Lord wants us to have all 9 of those, right? None of us do. None of us do. The way we tell the guys is the Lord's looking for progress, not perfection. Right? As long as our lives are moving in that particular direction with the goal of achieving like these 9 fruit of the Spirit or anything, that He wants to see progress. He likes to see progress. The only one who ever walked the perfect life, as we all know, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean the standard changes, right? Standard's still Him, and we all have to go and move in that direction. So I think it's probably good. Let's share a little bit about the ministry. It'll give you guys a little bit of an update on what's going on. I checked back. I think we were here in August of 2020, so it was a couple of years ago. Yeah. And you guys have been with us at Saturday breakfast for at least that long. And I know Mark came down for a Code Red, Code Red, when you're up and down Broadway in one of our vans, with, you know, the air conditioning doesn't work too good and it's 90-some degrees. Mark, I applaud you for showing the heck up, because I'm like, I'm glad Mark's coming because I might have to jump in if he doesn't show up. It's tough. It's that we, you know, when we advertise Code Red or Code Blue, that's what we always say. Okay, you want to serve? You know, freeze your tail off in February, or, you know, sweat it in August or July or June. It's tough duty. But that's what the Lord wants us to do, right? Put others before ourselves. Sacrifice to serve others in His name. And it's great when we see people show up to those outreach, even on Saturdays. I mean, who wants to get up on a Saturday? The only reason you guys show up on Saturdays is the same reason I do. The Lord has changed our hearts and made us others-focused as opposed to self-centered, right? I didn't get saved until I was 5 days before my 41st birthday. And now that I've had an opportunity to look back 27, almost 28 years, I might have had a good facade. I might have had a decent reputation because you can control that kind of stuff. But as I soberly looked back at my heart back on those first 41 years, I can tell I was all about Bill. Anything for Bill, right? I didn't really give much of a regard for anybody else. I'm so grateful. I had to go down hard, as you guys know, right? Federal prison, disbarred, the whole shooting match. So some of us hard heads have to go down in a very difficult way, but I wouldn't change one thing that happened in my life at that point, because that's where the Lord had to get me in order to have me realize my need for a Savior and that He sent His Son Jesus to be that mediator and bridge to Him. So I would never change any of that. It was painful at the time, as most things are when you're doing wrong, but we have a faithful God who rescues anybody, including this knucklehead up here talking. I'm grateful for that. All right, then. Tell them a little bit about what's going on in Ministry Bonds.
You want me to tell them?
Well, a little bit.
Okay. The other really great part, which I hope this is an encouragement to you. I just felt like God wanted me to share, and I know that you know this probably because we probably said it a while ago, but in that time in our lives of implosion in 94 and 95, God had positioned a woman, Patty Diamond, who was our neighbor, who had four children under five next door. And when you're someplace that you never think you'll be, and you're so filled with guilt and shame, and you have a moment of clarity, and you just don't want to feel the pain of that, and everything that you've been running to continues to lie to you, there is no hope apart from the love of Christ breaking in. And that woman decided to show God's simple kindness and love to me first. I had always believed in the Lord, graduated from a Christian college, but never knew that God wanted a personal relationship with me until I found myself someplace I never thought I would be. And the Lord, God bless him, gave Patty that assignment, and she responded. And it was that simple kindness that just drew me to the Lord in a real way. She just said, you know, if you ever want to talk to me, my door is always open to you. The rest of the big neighborhood that we lived in was signing a petition to throw us out. In West Deptford. And I'm just so grateful for her example. It was simple. There was no formula. She didn't tell me what I needed to do. She didn't look at me with disgust or try to, you know, when she saw me get away from me, she reached out to our children simply when they were young. She had kids, and first Sunday that she invited me back to church, someone had a word about the one sheep that's lost that God goes after. And I knew in that moment that I wasn't alone, that God saw me, saw us. And really everything to this day that the Lord has birthed in His ministry is a result of that simple kindness. And we all have that influence. You know, I know sometimes we think we have to be eloquent, or we have to, have a degree in theology, but, you know, God tells us to be prepared to give the reason for the hope that we have, and that His simple kindnesses can lead people to repentance. And if you had asked us 30 years ago if we'd be living in Camden and doing this, you know, Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, you know that passage of scripture, but you know, the Lord had appointed for us to go, and we've seen restoration, and we've seen failure with Him not be fatal to this day. And it gives us great hope to just continue to stand in there. Like Bill was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. And so often, you know, we can just, myself included, you know, just get up, get moving, and not really tap into the vine. And I love what he was saying about abiding. I don't know if you've ever heard, there's a little book that Andrew Murray wrote. It's called Abiding, and it's Reflections. And it's not a book that you would run through, but it's so beautiful. And he said, and you know, in God's love for us, that he's even responsible for the abiding. And that was so encouraging to me, because I'm like, Lord, I just know every single day in thought, deed, whatever, you know, that I fall short. But you never do. And can you help me live my life, help others live their lives defined by who you say they are, not what their failures have said, what their hurts have said, what, you know, we see a ton of people that are in places they would never be because of a lot of emotional pain that they don't know what to do, and they found nothing that can deliver them from it. And if we can't be conduits, God sees the heart. People know when you care. And we don't have anything to offer except what God continues to give us, and he's glad to do that. It's hard, and it's heartbreaking, and it's equally as joyful when you see a life like just reborn and get to walk alongside of people, which is really what we get to do. And God's allowed us to enter into, I mean, I think you all know that we stand on, you know, Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We interact with so many families of loved ones who just don't know where they are, or, you know, they've lost them to active addiction, let's say. That's a big thing that, you know, that we see all the time. And then they live in fear of losing them for good. And so just being able to be present even in those relationships and walk through some of those things is just such a gift from God. And we're just, it's a very unique time. I know you all know this, you're well taught. We should be expectant. The Lord is going to return. The enemy is working overtime. And I know you all know that here. We covet your prayers. He's coming hard after our family, our kids. And we want to trust and believe and keep our focus on him as we walk through these times. He's coming after Christian marriages. He's coming after people who have professed following the Lord their entire life and then walk away. And so we really do need to stand together in this time, love one another well, and when we're struggling, help each other, like pick each other's arms up, or just like what you said this morning, like that. I don't know that you know how powerful and how helpful that is to know when someone says they're praying for you. So we're grateful for that. The ministry is, nothing stopped with COVID. I think you all know that. I mean, everything that looked like an obstacle, God just turned into an opportunity, because that's his heart. Because he sees and loves and hasn't forgotten. And he really has done a wonderful thing. The amount of people that we are seeing on the streets didn't, like when everybody had to isolate, there wasn't, people were outside that were outside weren't isolating. People who were suffering an active addiction weren't isolating. The drug dealers weren't isolating. So all of that was still in play, and God gave us really a unique time to see our neighbors well in the territory that he's given us. Like, you know, years ago, we used to pick up hundreds of people on a Saturday morning, and our men, bless their hearts, during the entire pandemic, every Saturday morning, cooked in their house hot breakfast, took them out to the street, because there were hundreds of people out there, and there was no place inside that you could go for a hot breakfast. And as we were praying to get back in a building right in our neighborhood for quite some time, God was just really resetting our heart about, like, let's really love our neighbors well right here. Let's not advertise. Let's not pick up anybody anymore. Let's have, and he also, like in Bill's heart, just really stirred Bill's heart for the why we serve. Because sometimes you can serve in that capacity and not see people, right? And you're just, because you've got 40 people coming in on the vans and you've got 40 people inside, and then they've got to go so they can come in. And we were like, wait a minute, like, why are we serving? You know, and God just really reset that whole thing. And it's been really great, just the renewed intentionality, who God's grafted new people in. to serve with us. You know, just the good morning greetings, people wanting to sit. The last month or so, we've been outside in the field right next to our house. You guys know where that is. And it's been neat just watching people walk by, people coming to sit down, just getting prayer. The Hope Station's out there. So that's been a tremendous blessing. And I'll pass back to you on the guys. Do you want me to talk about Shan now? Or you sure?
That means I won't have any time, but go ahead.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wait a minute. No, just updating you on the ladies in the ministry, if she has a name. Please be praying. New ladies pretty much every day that we're seeing. Some coming in, some that we continue to see. Many come in and go out. The Lord has allowed us to stay present with the ladies as well. We, you know, I think we told you that we transitioned our side yard, put privacy slats in, a fire pit. And that was Bill's great idea, and it was wonderful, and we've had a wonderful time the last couple of years. So we're still out on the street, and we're in the side yard at the house, and we're actually really praying for right in our quadrant where we might be, because we've had a couple fires and some things happen. Would the Lord identify a property that we would be able to just open up completely right where we are to bring the ladies inside? We also, with the changes that we're seeing in the types of drugs that are being used on the street. The other prayer that we would really have is for God to really make it very clear to us whether or not we want to transition the use of our women's home to meet something more emergent. Because though we have the ability to have a lot of medical care and a lot of treatment, we don't have the ability right now to put the ladies into a safe environment where they can be in the protection of the Lord's heart and be cared for by Christian women who love him, get them stabilized, and give them time to think about the possibility of going into Christian discipleship programs. So those are two really big prayers for us. God did graft a new team member in this last year, which is a blessing. And really just what we want to do is work with some other Christian discipleship ministries that we love and have had a long-term relationship with to really show others the kingdom mindset that we have, and we really need to adapt to the times because we are in the trenches, but we don't have a great next step to get somebody safe, and the Lord's really been birthing something in our hearts for over a year. And we're taking sort of those next steps in prayer. So if you would, just that God would make that very clear to us and would also provide the staff that we would actually need, which would be minimal because we would keep it very small and very personal and very intimate because the ladies are extremely fragile in those times. So to put them into a shelter is just not, it just doesn't really work out. We also have an intimate prayer team that prays specifically for the needs of the ladies. And if that's something that you would like to be a part of, because of just the sensitivity we have to putting things out on social media as it relates to the women, you won't see a lot because we just don't want to give anybody any opportunity to maybe connect to somebody and then connect them back to us. So we're very careful. I know you guys know that. You know that's why we don't go out to human trafficking events, because of our proximity and the long-term relationship we've had. And I just want to thank God for this past July was 18 years since the She Has a Name ministry started with Cold Water. And I'm so grateful for the way you pray, the way you think of the ladies, the opportunity to love them, to be present with them, and just asking God to graft in maybe some next generation women who have hearts, passionate hearts for him. That would possibly potentially be able to come in and graft in with us. Our team is a wonderful mix team, like you would expect, of women only from all walks and seasons of life. I'm also very grateful for them. But, you know, again, just your prayers for us and your thoughts of us. The streets are very dangerous. The ladies are at extremely high risk, probably higher risk than we've ever seen. We are in a battle, so there are many losses, and that is very difficult for the team because we carry that and walk through them through and their families in those hard times. So And I would appreciate prayer for that, because that's an area where I tend to struggle. So I'd appreciate that.
That's good, huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything that you're thinking?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, please pray for the house that we have for the ladies is in Pittman. Just please pray that the Lord would direct us with regard to that house and maybe transitioning it over to meet the present need. It was first designed as a place where ladies could come after they were away at long-term Christian rehab, after they came off the street. If they were away for at least a year, usually a year and a half, it was designed initially for them, for that to be a place where they would land after they came back from Christian discipleship home and then start their life over, not so close to Camden, where they could get a job, participate in Bible studies, be mentored, be discipled, and just grow in their walk with the Lord. But we're, like Bren said, as we're seeing things change, this need is developing where we can have the possibility of getting ladies off the street maybe for 30 days so they can get their heads cleared before they make a commitment to go to long-term Christian discipleship. Because, you know, when you're on the street and running around like a knucklehead and somebody says, you need to go away for a year, you're like, eh, I don't think so. Yeah, right? You're just not, you know, just not in that mindset. So you almost need like a landing place, like a triage, where you can land and get things together before you make that next step, which we all know everybody needs. But, you know, the ladies aren't in a mindset to do that when they when they're fresh off the street. So two quick things. Quick update on the men. As most of you know, we have 4 men's houses for Christian guys coming out of prison. We can hold about 15. We have 12 right now. We have some guys coming. But probably the biggest thing is the Lord has opened up opportunities for us to be in back in a bunch of prisons that we had been in some prisons before this. And so we're in a couple of 3 different prisons a week with different teams where, like I explained earlier, we do different kinds of Bible studies or Christian fatherhood groups. That seems to be really popular. As you can probably imagine, a lot of the guys in prison didn't have much in the way of training or a role model for how to be a father. So they're guys who, you know, starting to get their heads screwed on straight are eager to learn that kind of stuff. It's really interesting, even grandfathers as well. So we take them through scripture. We have, it's a 10-week curriculum that we use called Inside Out Dad. It's Christian version. So like I said, it's got scripture tied into it. And it's just been a beautiful thing. Bible studies in the federal prison, a bunch of state prisons. And that acts as like almost like a feeder system for the transitional homes as well. So as you get to know a guy after 1 or 2 or 3 years inside, you sort of get some, even though so maybe you only see him 52 hours a year, you still get 70 hours a year. You can still get a pretty good read on a guy over time. So that is a great way to sort of allow the guys to make a decision about whether they want to live in a Christian home when they come out. And for us to make a decision on them as well. We're just about out of time. So what we have on the back table, as you guys might have heard, although it's really sort of got rolling this January and February, the ministry started, the Lord allowed the ministry to start a micro business called Hope Chocolates. It's awesome, actually. And so we have some candy bars out there. It's probably 30. There's 15 dark, 15 milk. First come, first serve. The gold wrappers are dark. The silver wrappers are milk, depending on what you want. But the whole idea is it's not even chocolate, right? We started this business not even to make money. We started this business to provide an atmosphere where the guys could learn job skills, be discipled in the Lord while they're making the chocolate, right? And then learn all of that and then maybe go out and get a job in that field. Believe it or not, there's a demand for guys on how to make chocolate. So we have 3 guys who have worked with us on a part-time basis. Great website, hopechocolates.com. You just jump on that. All kinds of stuff. The candy bars are just that was the first thing they created, but now it's like you go on that website, now it's like just like any other chocolate vendor, right, or company. Boxes for this, you know, hearts for this, all the different holidays and stuff. But again, it's teaching the guys how to work with one another, build job skills, grow in their walk with the Lord, because when they're in there with the guy Bruce Smith from Bethel, used to be called Bethel Baptist up there in Cherry Hill, it's just Bethel Church now. Bruce is a guy who's been in the chocolate business for 40 years, and it was his idea. He came to us and said, what do you think about this? Because he started something like this in Jamaica after he went down to a mission trip. He started, He started with ladies in Jamaica and did the same thing down there to help them support their families, because unfortunately most of the fathers were not around. So take a look at that. You're going to love the chocolate. This is imported Belgian chocolate that we buy through a company here that imports it from Belgium. Because you got to buy it by the pallet. We only need like a box at a time.
It's really good.
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's really good. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And again, pray for the guys in that ministry, including Bruce Smith, who's the guy that not only teaches them how to do this stuff, but is really a solid believer who disciples these guys as they're working in that company. It's just a beautiful thing. So we trust that you guys will love that. And that's pretty much it. Newsletter sign up. Oh, you know what? And the banquet, if you guys are interested to see. We don't even call it a fundraiser. I mean, some people will, donate to the ministry as a result of that. But if you want to catch a really awesome vision of the ministry, that's on October 5th. Just look on the website or sign up for the newsletter. There's a newsletter sign-up sheet in the back there. Just to come up to Sovereign Grace Church, this is where Brenda and I attend. And it's been there for years. Not the church, the banquet. And I think you'll get a real nice snapshot of what the Lord's been doing over the last 12 or 15 months or so. That's really all we do. We call it a night of celebration. We used to call it a celebration banquet. It's not a full meal this year, so we're calling it a night of celebration. And the reason we call it a night of celebration is all we intend to do that evening, and we pray to this end every time we think about it, we are celebrating all that the Lord has done in our lives and specifically in the lives to the people that he's called us to minister to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just a beautiful night. So we love you guys. We thank you for the way that you serve alongside us. Thank you for the way that you pray for us. We need that. And I know everybody gets up here and says that, but we need it.
We
really need it. It's like Brent said, these are tough days, but they're tough everywhere. But the enemy's been on constant attack, and we would covet your prayers and for our family and for the ministry as well. All right, we love you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.